What do you mean it's not just any? Oh, okay. Well, you got a good one.
Yeah.
All right, am I up? Am I recording?
Yeah.
390. Is Becky sick?
She'll be here.
Y'all know the routine. When I point to you, you'll stand and read the verse, right?
Yeah.
Brenda, you start us off. By the way, has anybody noticed how pretty she is today? By the way, did he tell you this morning? Did you tell her how pretty she was? All right, read that first verse.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the voice. No,
I don't want you to read that. Just read the verse. Just the verse. Would you be free? All right, that's good. Jesse,
yep.
Second one.
Would you be free from your passion and pride? Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide.
All right. Marty, third one.
Would you be brighter, much brighter than snow? Sustain the lost in me.
All right. Diane, finish it off.
Would you do service for Jesus, your King? Would you live daily his praises to sing?
Now, did you notice there's four questions there, isn't there? Would you? First of all, the first question has nothing to do with the fourth question, right? Because if you don't go to the first question, you can't go to the fourth question. See, you can't do service for Jesus, your King, until you're free from the burden of sin. So the man knew what he was doing. He knew how to write. I believe it was Holy Spirit inspired. You believe what you want to. But did you notice it gives the answer to each question? There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. If you have a sin burden and you want rid of it, there's power in the blood to get rid of it. Right? And then it says, would you be free from your passion and pride? That's talking about everyday life, isn't it, Jesse? Huh? In other words, if you want to have victory over the flesh, well, you can't have it unless you go to the power. And the power is in the blood. And I might tell you this. I might not tell you this. I will tell you this. Not just any power. Not just any blood. There's power in the blood of the Lamb. Not just any blood. Not just any Lamb. The definitive article is the blood of the Lamb. So if you want free of your sin, you got to go to the Lamb. If you want to walk daily, you got to go to the Lamb. And if you want to do service for Jesus, your King, because after you get rid of sin, he is your King, by the way, then you go to the Lamb. Everybody knows where we've been teaching on, right? That's right, Tom. I know exactly. What we've been teaching on, Tom? We've been teaching on the gospel, the good news of God. Thank you, Tom. See, that's how you're supposed to do it. I'm just demonstrating how, when I ask a question, you're supposed to answer. Right, John?
Yeah.
Now, see, if you noticed, I don't pick on John. Because John's always paying attention. I notice that. Now, some of you doze off. That's when I call on you. So if I catch you dozing, I'll ask you something. We're talking about the good news of God. Now, if you remember, we started out in 1 Corinthians 15, right? Paul says, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, right? And it was concerning three things. What? The death, the burial, and the resurrection, right? Those three things. And that is the gospel. Well, in Romans chapter 1, the same writer, Paul, under the guidance of the same Holy Spirit, because there's only one, he says that the gospel of God is concerning his son, Jesus Christ, which was declared to be the son by three things. The power, the spirit, and the resurrection. Now you know why we read the song. Because now you know what we're going to talk about today. There is no gospel. There is no good news unless there's some power to deliver good news. I mean, it's not enough for me to say to Diane, Diane, I'm going to give you $25,000. Now that's good news, isn't it, honey? Boy, and she's lightened up. If you notice, she says, Tom, do I have to wait till you die? It would do no good for me to tell her that good news, unless I can deliver. God wouldn't have any good news for us without his son. That's why it says that the gospel is concerning his son. Remember we told you that the conduit of the gospel is the son. The Son is what delivers the good news that God, and it says this, promised afore by the, starts with an S, next letter C, next letter's R, next letter, Scriptures. You remember they said that in 1 Corinthians also in 15. He says, according to the Scriptures. Let me tell you something. Everything is according to the Word of God. Everything. You wouldn't be sitting there, Dwayne, alongside your little bride, except for the Word of God. First of all, the Word of God that created you. Second of all, the Word of God that saved you and made you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Because I dare say you'd be in here this morning except you were in Christ Jesus. Not many people come to Sunday school, they're lost. I've met a few. I've talked to a few. Recently had one saved that came to my Sunday school class. Unsaved, but got saved later. But the point is, without the Son, there is no good news, because the Son is what delivers all the good news. Burden of sin, gone. Why? Because the Son paid it, delivered it. Peter says it this way, for we are For we are saved, not with corruptible seed, but with incorruptible seed. And then what does he say? He tells you what the incorruptible seed is, the Word of God. See, it wouldn't be good enough for me to say, brother, I know a way that you can be made taken from corruptible to incorruptible unless I deliver something that will do it. And God delivers something that will do it His Word. Now, is His Word important?
Yes.
It's everything. Mm-hmm. Dwayne wouldn't be here without His Word. Because unless He says, in the beginning God said, nothing would be here, folks. You wouldn't. Nothing would. Because in the beginning God said. So we're going to talk about His power. His power. Now, in the Greek, which the New Testament was written in, there is two words used that are translated power. One means authority. It's exousia. E-X-O-S-I-A. Exousia. It means authority. I'll demonstrate that for you. The government in Washington has exousia, authority, right? We give it to them. We vote them in, and they have the authority to pass laws, right? Okay, not only do they have authority to pass the laws, they have ability to enforce the law. Have you ever heard this? That the full weight of the government was brought to bear on so and so. In other words, they had committed a crime, and the government put the full weight of the government behind them to convict them of their crime. Why? Because the government had the authority to make the law that they broke, and they had the ability to enforce the law that they broke. Therefore, they would bring the full weight of the government down on them. Now, sometimes that's good, sometimes that's bad. See, because the government is, might I say, corruptible. In other words, sometimes if they want to just hurt you, they can bring the power down on you. But that's not the way it is with God. God, first of all, has the authority. But second of all, God has the power, the ability, the strength, the might to enforce His law. Does the Bible say this? He that liveth by the law shall be judged by the law. Well, you would say, well, now, wait a minute, Tom, I didn't think we was under law. Well, according to that verse, you are. The only way you can get out from under the law is to fulfill it. Well, you can't, Helen. You can't, Larry. You'll never get out from under it. But God's got good news for you. He'll give you a way to get out from under it through His. Is that not good news? If you know that, boy, if I get judged by the law, I'm a goner. That's the bad news. But the good news, Dwayne, is God has sent good news concerning His Son, who hath fulfilled all the law, so that if you're in Him, you have fulfilled all the law, and the law will never touch you. You will never pay the penalty of the law. What is the penalty of the law? Well, the wages of sin is, that's the law. That's not man's law, folks. That's God's law. You just die without Christ, and you will pay the wages of sin. Because the law, he says, not one jot nor one tittle shall pass away till all my word or all my law or all my judgments or all my statutes or all my testimonies, however you want to say it, are fulfilled. So if he says the wages of sin is death, you die in your sin and you will pay for that sin. That's the law. And that will not be changed. You know how I know it won't be changed, honey? Does anybody know how I know that? Oh, I got you, didn't you? You answered. John says, the Bible says, where does it say that, John? Huh? No, you can't use her. That's why I come to you. I knew what Becky's going to say, but see, I caught you. You can't use what Becky says. I'm going to give it to you, and that way you'll never have to know it again. He says, my word is forever settled. Listen, that's it. What he says, heaven's already settled. Nothing's going to change it. So if he says the wages of sin is death, it's settled. You're gone, son. You got no chance, Mr. Williams. You got no chance. You're done. You're cooked. You're going to hell. Oh, if he hadn't put that second part in our praise, God, don't you like it? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hey, if that's not good news, I don't have any for you. That's what he says. You're going to hell, Vernon, if I don't put that second part in there. Because my word is forever settled in heaven. But, well, that means that second part's forever settled too. Them that are in Christ Jesus will never taste of death. He says, of whom the second death hath no P-O-W-E.
Power.
You know what that word means?
Can't touch
authority.
Yeah.
Don't have no authority over you. Mm-hmm. Sin has no authority over you. Because you have the Son. You see why it's critical to have the Son. That's why the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Well, that's a death. If you don't have life, you have death, right? So you said it okay. It's a paraphrase, Vern, but it's okay. Well, that's forever settled in heaven too, folks. Every word in here is always settled. What does that mean to be settled? There's no debating it. You know, it's like, anybody ever watch Judge Judy? I know I use her a lot, but I love Judge Judy. Anybody ever watch Judge Judy? You know, sometimes the plaintiff or the defendant will get to going back and forth with her. And you know what she says? Oh, this is no back and forth. I'm here to make a determination on whether you're right or whether they're right. I'm not in here to debate this thing. I know the law. You don't know. Did you go to law school? What law school did you go to? I didn't go to law school. Then don't try to tell me the law, she says. I'm here to determine the law. Well, let me tell you something. God's already determined the law. It's his law. It's the only law. And it's settled. There's no debating it. That's why you remember, I've given this illustration to you. It's in the Bible many times where they had the supper and the guy came to the supper in the wrong clothing. Remember, he didn't wear the garment that was given to the wedding people. And he said, friend, why have you come in here with the wrong clothing? And what did he say? He didn't say anything. It wasn't up for debate. God had said, you got to wear my son's garment. And if you come here trying to wear something else, you know what we're going to do with you?
Oh, yeah.
We're going to take you and cast you into outer darkness where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's the law. And you say, well, Tom, if that's the law, where's the power behind it? What power is there behind the law that can enforce the law? My goodness, it's the power of God. It's the power of God. Look, if you will, at Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Let me just get you to look there a second. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in the time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed. Now, who appointed the Son, Becky?
God.
God did. Well, who's got more power than God? Well, I guess the Son's going to be the heir then, right? If God appointed him the heir, would you say that the Son's going to be the heir?
Yes.
Well, that's what he says. Appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Now, that's what John chapter 1 says, isn't it? In the beginning was God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And by him was not anything made that was made. Isn't that what it says? Isn't that what it says here? See how consistent God's Word is? Now, so he goes on to say this. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Did Jesus say this? I and the Father are one. If ye have seen me, ye have seen the Father. Well, isn't that what it says? That's exactly what it says, folks. It's not got any different. Upholding all things by the... Well, now you would think, Becky, that in our English, that would be reversed, wouldn't you think? I mean, you would say that difference in our language, right? That is upheld by the power of his word. But it doesn't say that. Why does it say the word of his power? Well, because in the Greek, the most important thing is always last. So it says he upholds everything. Now, I want you to think about this. He says, in the beginning, God created, right? Now, scientists, these smart people, they have learned through study some of the few laws of God, right? I mean, in studying the astronomers and stuff like that, and studying the universe, they've learned some of the few laws of God, right? But they also can't explain to you how it works. I mean, let's say we've been here 20 billion years. Some of them say that. I don't much believe that, but that's okay. It doesn't make any difference to me. Hey, in the beginning, God. I don't know if that's 100 billion years ago. It wouldn't make any difference. It's still God, right? If it's 100 billion years ago, that makes God even greater, because for 100 billion years, nothing's changed. That's how great God is. So he says, not only did he create all this, in other words, he says, okay, you stars. Whew. Okay, sun, moon, earth, rotate. And guess what they started doing? They started rotating just like he said. And do you know that's never changed? And do you know it won't? Regardless of what man may say, and I'm not going to get political this morning, regardless of what man may say, that's not going to change, folks, till God changes it. Only God can undo what he's done. Only he has the authority to do it, because it's his. And only he has the ability to do it, because I want you to think about this. Have you ever seen one of these big bulldozers? I mean the big ones. Move dirt. Man, are they powerful, right? Think about the fuel, the energy that it takes for that big bulldozer to move all that earth. Think about it. The energy. And you say, well, yeah, but it gets it through that diesel fuel. Well, that's the energy, right? So if we do away with fossil fuels, where does the big bulldozer get its energy?
From electric cord.
Oh, no. There ain't enough electricity around to make that big bulldozer push that dirt. There ain't enough solar panels around to make that big bulldozer push that dirt. It takes energy. I mean, do you think God didn't know about fossil fuel, folks? I mean, do you think one day God woke up and said, oh my goodness, you know, I didn't even think about the effect fossil fuel would have on my creation. I mean, do you see how silly it is? But that's the world. It is silliness to us, but to the world, it's wisdom. That's why he says, well, I have chosen the foolishness to confound the wise. But I want you to go beyond the bulldozer. If you can imagine the power that it takes for that big bulldozer to push, and if you've never seen it, then you won't understand what I'm trying to say. But if you've ever seen one of those real big bulldozers push that, I mean, they push a lot of dirt, man. They got power. Think about the power that it takes to keep this universe going. To keep the sun that is 12,000 degrees Fahrenheit, and if we moved any closer to it, we burn up. If we move any farther away from it, we freeze to death. Think about the power that it takes to keep it where it's supposed to be.
It's in God's little finger.
That's the power of God. You say, boy, that's something. That's the same power that saves you. That's the same power that keeps you. Bless God, if he can sustain the universe, you think he can't sustain you? I'm going to give you a good illustration. Anybody know where my Bible is? Turn to Matthew. Turn to Matthew. Luke. Somewhere. Oh, boy, where is it? It's Matthew. Well, sometimes I forget. Oh, boy, I don't know where it's at. Oh, gosh, what have I done? Where is that? I know I had it. Where did I do? Oh, boy, let's see. Oh, give me a second. Give me a second. There it is. I knew it was the left page, top of the right hand column, but boy, I tell you, it was about to get me. Now, okay, Matthew chapter 26. Now everybody knows what's going on here, don't you? Matthew 26. They've come to the garden and they got Jesus, right? You remember that? Now, he demonstrated his power in the garden. You remember that? When they came out there, they said, whom seek ye? And he said, whom do you seek? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am he. And he demonstrated power.
Oh, yeah.
They went down like bowling pins. I mean, he didn't go over and slap them. They just went down at his word. I am he. Bam. Now, that's power, right? So he's already demonstrated that power to them. But folks, before that, he's demonstrated it time and time and time again. Do you remember that they brought this person in and they dropped him down through the roof and before Jesus? And the first words out of Jesus' mouth was, son, get up and walk. No, that ain't what he said. He said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. It's not important whether you walk or not. It's important whether your sins are forgiven. Because you'll walk in heaven, bless God, but if you won't get there with your sins. Huh? So he knew what the man's need was. He said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And they said, ha! Ha! He blasphemeth. Who but God hath power? Oh, there's that word. To forgive sins. And you know what? Here's the thing that people don't realize. We should. We should realize it. Next time we think God's not in on our thoughts, they wasn't saying that out loud. The Bible says he perceived in their hearts that they were saying this. And he says, oh, you question me? You question that I have power to cleanse this man of sin? You question that, do you? Oh, I'll tell you what. So that you know that the Son of Man, he didn't say me now, because they knew who the Son of Man was, right? So that you know that the Son of Man hath power to forgive sins, son, get up and go to your house. Now, they're caught now. Hey, they couldn't see the first demonstration. They couldn't see the sins forgiven. And I'm going to tell you what, nobody was with me at that red light that day but me. But even if they had been a car full of people, nobody would have seen what took place on the inside of me. But I'm going to tell you what, the power of God got in me. And I'm going to tell you one thing, you can't see that. But he says, well, okay, I'm going to give you, I agree with you. I'm paraphrasing now. I agree with you. You can't see that. You can't know that. But so that you'll believe that, I'm going to show you that I am God. And if I am God, I can forgive his sins. Son, get up and go to your house. Now, who could do that but God? Who could tell a man been lame since birth? Get up and go to, he didn't say go to physical therapy and let them teach you how to walk. He said get up and walk and go to your house. Take your bed with you, by the way. You won't need it anymore. That's his power. He was demonstrating two things there. I have authority, but I also have ability to enforce what I have the authority to do. I not only have the authority to forgive you sins, I have the ability to do it. Well, how did he do that? How did he forgive that man's sin? That's a question. Now, you should be following me right now. How did he have the authority to forgive that man's sins? Huh? Well, but he hadn't died yet, honey. He's forgiven that man's sins. Huh? Oh, he's got power, but he hadn't died yet.
He is God.
Well, he is God, but he hadn't died yet.
He was still God.
I know.
He
but
was
you,
God in Genesis 1.
Oh, I understand that. I'm with you. My point is this. He could say to that man, thy sins be forgiven thee, because he knew that he had the ability to go down a cross and pay that sin debt. So it's done. You don't have to worry about that, son. It's not coming about yet, but it won't be long. Maybe, I don't remember what the time frame was. But anyway, what he's saying is this. I'm forgiving your sins because I've got the ability. And he demonstrated that ability. Remember, he said, I have the power to lay it down. I've got the power to take it up. So listen, I've got the power to save you because I've got the power to die for you. I've got the power to make the sacrifice once and for all. Therefore, your sins are forgiven. And so the rest of you will know, he says, son, get up and go to your house. And y'all should know only God could tell him to do that. So now you should know who I am, right? So look over, if you will, at Matthew 26. And so here they've come and got him, and now he's before the high priest and all that. And verse 62, I'll start there. And the high priest arose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? Now, why did he say that? Well, because what was previously said. They brought in these false witnesses against him. You remember? Fake news. They brought in the fake news on him. And they were saying, oh, he said if we tear down the temple, he could raise it in 3 days. Did he say that? Yes. Did he mean what they were saying? No. And they said, well, aren't you going to respond? Don't you know what these people are saying about you? And he said nothing. And the high priest arose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witnesses against thee? But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ or the Son of God. You got to think about that for a minute. Here's this puny little old high priest. Thinks he's got all this power and authority. Adjuring him. Y'all know what adjure means, don't you? I demand. Well, folks, he's not alone. He says, I adjure thee. Are you the Son of God? Well, Jesus just had a simple answer. You said it. You said it. Wasn't that enough, Will? Huh? Well, you'd have thought it would have been. When he said, you said it, you know what their first response should have been, Mila? Get on their knees before God and do like the leper. Lord, if thou wilt, thou can cleanse us. Since you're the Messiah, since you're the one we've been looking for, since you've come, since you've done told us before I saw you, and you said you could cleanse sins, Lord, would you forgive us? That's what they should have done. Yeah, but let's see what they did do. Jesus saith unto them, thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man. Let me read that another way so you don't miss the point. In the future, you're going to see me. You're going to see me sitting at the right hand of what? That's what it says, of power. You know what that word means, don't you? It means authority. You're going to see me at the right hand of authority. Make no mistake, I just told you who it was and you won't believe it. But the next time you see me, you're going to believe it. But it's going to be too late. Because then it's going to be the white throne judgment where you're going to see me. That's what he's saying. The right hand of power, folks, that's the throne. When you see God on the throne, you better be saved. Because then you can worship. If you ain't, you will be mourning and weeping and begging and pleading and crying. It's that simple. He says, the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. What should have been their response? That's exactly what they should have said. Oh Lord, no. I don't want to wait till then to acknowledge you. I'm acknowledging you now. Isn't that what the Bible teaches? Today is the day. Come now. Boast not thyself for tomorrow. But he knew they weren't going to believe. He was condemning them right there. Why? Because he had the authority and the power to do it. He was telling them their future. You're done, boys. You're done. The next time you see me, you'll be at the white throne judgment, and it won't be good for you. All because he has the power. He has the authority. He has the ability. Now, he not only has the authority and the ability to save you, he has the authority and the ability to sustain you. As the Bible says, to succor you. S-U-C-C-O-U-R. Come to your aid. Now, how do I know that? How do I know that? It's in the Bible. Give me a high five.
I'm not.
You remember I gave you two definitions for the word power? The first one was authority. He's already demonstrated his authority to save. He's already demonstrated his ability to save, right? Because he went to the cross. Well, how do we know that he has the ability to keep us? Well, if you look over at 1 Peter, you don't need to. I'm going to tell you what it says. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 1, it says that we have an inheritance which is incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away for those who are kept by his power. He can only promise you that inheritance based on his ability, not yours. You won't get to heaven based on your ability. I don't mean to point at you. I'll go over here and point. I can point at Jesse. She don't care. You won't get to heaven based on your ability. You will get there based on his. How do I know that? Oh, thank you, honey. It's in the Bible. And I won't ask you where because I'm going to tell you. You say, well, Tom, yeah, that's not fair. You treat Marty different than you treat us. I knew what y'all were thinking. What did Paul say in the verse? He says, for I know in whom I have. Oh, there's the key. Remember, I told you, those people's response to Jesus when he said, you've said it. Or they should have said, oh, we believe it. And those people's response to when he said, oh, the next time you see me, he'll be at the throne. They should have said, oh, no, have mercy on us now. We believe it. But they didn't. But Paul, you remember on the road to Damascus? He said, Lord, what would you have me to do? I'm believing. And so he could write this word under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that says, I know, and I'll come over here and talk to you, honey. I know in whom I have believed. And that he is, there's that word again, dunamis, power. We get our word dynamite from it. I called my brother yesterday, Brother Dan, and I said, message alert, do you want to light the dynamite or not? I mean, if you're going to blow something up, you can't just have the dynamite and the fuse laying there. It's not going to blow anything up. You're going to have to light it. And if you light it, it's going to do what it's supposed to do. It's going to blow it up. Let me tell you something. He says, I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded. And that word means beyond any doubt that he is able. He has the power. He has the explosiveness. He has the ability. He has the strength. He has the might to what? Keep. Oh, Dwayne. Son, when you got into his hands, they went like that. And you know where you're at? You're in there. And you know what John 10 says? Nothing. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. You know what nothing means, don't you? Nothing means nothing. Nada, nipped, zero, nothing. So he says, I am persuaded that thou art able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that. What day? Oh, that day he told him about. That day in which he'll sit on his throne. Huh? That day blessed God in which he's going to judge everything. He says, for all judgment is given unto the Son. That's the day, blessed God. Hey, you better not be preparing for that day. You better get ready this day, because when that day comes, you better already be ready. Yeah. It's sort of like if a hurricane's coming. You can't wait till the hurricane gets there to say, well, I better go get me some sand and some bags. I better nail up the windows. I better put the plywood up. Well, I can't do that. The winds are blowing 130 miles an hour right now. I better not get out there. Too late. Now, in another place, that word is demonstrated. It says in Ephesians, he says, now unto him. We all know who him is, don't we? Yeah. Now unto him. Who is able, there's that word again, has all the power to do exceedingly, abundantly. Did you know that that word is translated dunamis, abundance? Because his power is limitless. His power is unlimited. He has all power in heaven and in earth. And that's why he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above everything that we ask. Oh boy. What do you think he put the word think in there for?
We think.
Imagine.
Imagine.
Did you hear?
Imagine.
It came to her.
Yeah, when you told me.
Exceedingly, abundantly, above everything that we think or even our imagination could think of. He can do above it. What have you got in your life that he can't handle? Nothing. Nothing. He's handled your sin. He's handling your safety. And one day, he will secure your place in heaven. All because of his power. He has the ability. He has the authority to bring it about. And that's what he will do. Because Ephesians says this also. It says that his purpose is to gather all things that are in Christ, both on the earth and in heaven together. Won't it be wonderful there, having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with harp bells all ringing. Won't it be wonderful there? Well, we can be there because of his power. Well, see you next week.